The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Of course, it is the Ryan Tuberty Show, 25 to 10 in the morning. I'm Baz Ashmawi. I'm filling in for Ryan while he's taking a few days. Right, a new year can often get people thinking about a new car. Joe Rafus is a motoring journalist and photographer with Rev.ie, and he joins me now to take a look at what's happening in the world of electric cars, where we are, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Baz. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, sir?
Marvellous, marvellous.
Business is good at the moment.
Yeah, we're kept going. There's a lot of new cars and a lot of changes happening in the industry. So it gives us plenty to look at and to test drive and to write about.
Absolutely. Now, listen, we're going to talk about everything about electric cars, from the ones we're seeing now on the roads to the ones people might be seeing in their dreams. But before we start, what is the current situation with our relationship in Ireland with electric cars?
It's kind of a funny one, Baz, because even though it's coming, there's no avoiding it. There is a kind of a series of misconceptions out there that are kind of putting people off the idea of EVs. And I suppose, like all people, we're used to diesel and we're used to petrol. And change is kind of something that people tend to shy away from. And the misconceptions, you know, they don't help from that. You often hear people talking about, oh, the range isn't there and where can I charge it and how can I charge it? And I can't get to Cork and back in the same day from Donegal. There's not too many people drive from Donegal to Cork and back in the same day anyway.
Yeah. But I suppose it's imagining, like a lot of houses nowadays, they have two cars, right?
Yeah.
So you and could,
I suppose that's the secret too, because if you've two cars, you know, the chances are that one of those cars doesn't do huge mileage every year. If it does, if both cars happen to be doing 40, 50,000 kilometres a year, perhaps EV isn't for you at the moment. But the reality of it is that probably one of those stays relatively local or has a kind of a 50 to 100 kilometre commute a day. And there's absolutely no logical reason why that couldn't be an EV.
Absolutely. Joe, you see, I think what it is I know even for myself, people get... they can be forgiven for getting really confused between the different types of electric cars. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know there's a HEV, there's PHEV, there's BEV. You say that to me, I just go, oh God, forget about it. But maybe you could explain that. Could we do that?
Yeah, of course. So first up, we have the traditional ICE cars, internal combustion engine cars, that everybody has been used to for decades and decades now. So that's your petrol and your diesel car. After that, then you'll often hear them referred to as hybrids or mild hybrids. And essentially what that is, that's your traditional petrol or perhaps even diesel car, but it has some capacity to regenerate a little bit of power from braking, from coasting, and give you a little bit of low down. When I say low down, I'm talking about first, second gear electric driving. Okay?
Yeah.
If you step up from that then, and suddenly your car comes with a plug socket on it, and it also has a fuel tank, so you end up with two fuel caps. That's probably just a PHEV, a FEV, as we call it.
Right.
So it's a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. So you still have your petrol engine, or in the case, Mercedes do a diesel FEV as well. So you essentially have two ways of driving your car. You have the electric element, and you also then have that safety blanket of your traditional petrol or diesel. And then the last one is battery electric vehicle, the BEV, and that's your full battery, full electric car.
That's no fuel tank, no exhaust pipe, nothing.
Nothing. Just basically a battery, an inverter, and a motor, and a socket, obviously.
So tell me this, Joe. How do those cars stack up against a petrol or a diesel car?
Yeah, incredibly well, for the most part. Okay, so if you're a sales rep and you're leaving Dublin in the morning and you have to hit Waterford and Cork and Limerick on your way back, it's not going to work for you in the same day. But we're talking about now, at the moment, I'm test driving the new Ford Mustang E. And I've driven a load of electric vehicles over the last couple of months. And there's absolutely no issues with range. I mean, I had a Volkswagen ID4 before Christmas. I live in County Meath. I drove down to Clare for the weekend, and I charged once on the way down at Loughrea and once on the way back. It coincided with when I would have been stopping to use the bathroom and grab a bit of lunch. Anyway,
Joe, what Mustang are you driving? That's the Lord Mayor's one that I read out this morning.
The Lord Mayor and myself.
The notion's on you, Joe. We were getting on great. And now I just realised you're lording it, literally. You know?
Whoever thought you'd have to plug in a Ford Mustang? I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Your head rattles when you even try and contemplate it. I mean, we think of Ford Mustang, we think Steve McQueen and Bullitt, but the latest Mustang, the Mach-E, is a fully electric SUV.
And you can travel, 1,000K in an electric car for about how much? 25 euro.
Between 20 to 25 euro if you're charging at home. Now, it's a little bit, the convenience of being able to charge with rapid chargers on the run, you know, kind of the ones you see at your motorway service stations or perhaps in your local kind of car park at your supermarket or whatever. There is a charge in them and they are a little bit more expensive. You're paying for the facility. But if you're charging at home, it's very, very simple. You can opt to perhaps go on to a night route where you're getting cheaper electricity at night time and charging your car at night time. Or if you decide not to do that and you're on a flat rate and you're looking at kind of 14, 15, 16 cent per kilowatt.
Yeah.
You know, and you're running a car with a 50 kilowatt hour battery. I mean, it's very basic maths. And you're realistically, you're looking at 1,000 kilometres for less than 25 euros.
Wow, that's amazing. Tell me this, how does someone, how do you decide what's best for you? Do you know, how do you know what type of car is going to be best for you?
Yeah, and you know what? As a motoring journalist, that's the question I get asked all the time. What car should I buy? And there are kind of criteria that you need to look at. What is your average kind of commute, number one? Actually, I suppose probably the first and foremost one is what's your budget. But after that, then you're looking at what kind of mileage do you do in a year? And then after that, I suppose you're looking at how many members are in your family? How many people are you driving around with? So do you need that space for passengers? Or perhaps you're involved in a hobby like kayaking or golf or something and you need all that additional boot space. They're the kind of things that people need to kind of factor in. But then also, if you're thinking maybe you like the sound of EV, you need to look at the reality of where you can charge. And it is a hugely inhibiting factor because for the most part, EVs are kind of targeted at urban centres and city driving. The problem with cities is a lot of people live in apartment complexes that don't have their own driveway. Or perhaps they're reliant on on-street parking. And if that's the case, you're going to be hard fixed to charge your car at night.
Joe, what about a home charger? How much would someone pay for that? How much is that going to cost them?
It actually varies a little bit. Some cars now, some of the EVs come with packages where the manufacturers include a charger with the price of the car. However, if you were just going out and buying one straight out, there's numerous different companies that do it. And you're probably looking at somewhere around the 1,000 euro to 1,200 euro mark for a charger and for it to be installed.
Right, okay.
Excuse me. But the important part of that is there's a 600 euro SEAI grant that you get back. Okay, so while you initially paid the 1,000 euro, you can claim 600 of that back.
Well, are there other benefits for people to make a switch to a kind of fully electric vehicle? Is there other kind of major benefits that you see?
Yeah, well, the glaringly obvious one is the cost of fuel and the cost of driving around and getting around. Diesel and petrol have gone very, very expensive. You know, I know electricity has gone, we'll see it in our utility bills now, has gone up a little bit. But the big, big savings can actually be made in maintenance. Most of the new EVs come with a 7-8 year battery warranty, your normal 5-year all over car full warranty. And the reality of it is you've no oil filter, you've no oil, you've no spark plugs, you've no air filter. You never have to do a timing belt or a water pump.
Right, gotcha.
So there's a whole load of parts that you save on. The one people often underestimate is brake pads. Because all of these hybrids and plug-in, hybrid cars and battery cars regenerate power as you coast or as you brake, you actually end up using less of the percussion braking that we normally would have had where you press the pedal and the pad goes against the disc. You end up using motor braking. So it's the motor is recharging which means then you don't have to replace your
I see the benefit. Tell me this. Talk dirty to me. Like, if I have all the money, if I had all the money, where does it start to get sexy? What do you get excited about, you know?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of cars. And you know, I came from a generation where I was a big petrol head as a young lad, and still am. And, you know, I remember as a kid having posters of, you know, Nissan GTRs and Ferraris and Porsche 964s on my bedroom wall.
Yeah.
That can be the case now with EVs. There's a whole range of, like, incredibly, like, as you call it, sexy hypercars and supercars that are full EVs out there. You know, you have something like the Aspark Owl, which most people will never have heard of Aspark, but they're a Japanese brand, and they're building 50 Aspark Owls. They're each going to cost about 2.5 million. So it should be no problem to you about it. You might just have to...
Ah, no bother. I'm just counting it here while you're chatting to me. I was actually Googling it. God, that's a gorgeous looking car. Aspark Owl, wow.
It'll hit 0 to 100 kilometres an hour in 1.72 seconds. So basically
1.72
in the time you said the Aspark Owl, you're at 100 kilometres an hour.
That's a horrible speed. 1.72 seconds.
It's pretty intimidating. Like, when you put it in context, Max Verstappen, Formula One champion this year, his car takes 2.6 seconds to get to 100.
To 100?
So he's almost a full second quicker if he was driving an Aspark Owl.
Oh my God, that is... I won't lie, my pupils have dilated. I'm quite excited right now. The big complaint is the noise sometimes, isn't it? Is the electric cars. It's just that sound of an engine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you miss it. And, you know, it's actually interesting. The Mustang Mach-E that I'm driving at the moment, you can actually put in a simulated noise. There's a setting on so that you get this kind of exhaust note just played through the speakers as you accelerate, and it matches, and it feels just like you're driving a normal car. But it's not the only one.
Which is brilliant, because there's nothing sadder than sitting in your car making car sounds going...
Yeah, especially at the traffic lights. Giving you that look. But the Audi e-tron GT as well, and it's kind of a... It's basically, if you think of like an Audi A7, but even better looking, even lower, even bigger... you know, that too is really, really swanky performance, kind of sports four-door coupe.
Gotcha, yeah.
It does the same thing. You get this amplified noise and it feels just like you're driving a real car.
People might not think that wasn't there one that Richard Hammond crashed? What one was that?
Oh, which one has Richard Hammond crashed?
Well, let me just think. Was it a Rimac?
Rimac, yeah. It's basically, it's a Croatian brand. Now, Croatian, you know, Croatia is not probably the first country that jumps into your head when you think of car manufacturers, but this guy called Mate Rimac, and he's 30-odd-year-old engineering prodigy. Now, he developed his own supercar, the Rimac, as a brand. It's been so successful that he now actually has full control of Bugatti going forward. So Bugatti, and we're all synonymous with Bugatti and its Veyrons and Chirons and some of the most desirable cars in the world. But he's actually now gotten control of Bugatti. Volkswagen have done a deal. They've kind of partnered up with him. Volkswagen obviously owning Bugatti. And he's developing Bugatti's, the first fully battery, fully electric Bugattis going forward. So he has his Rimac. Now, the latest one is the C2. We're talking 258 miles per hour, you know, and again, sub 2 second, not to 100 kilometres kind of times, and it'll do 341 odd miles on a full charge. So, like, it's incredibly impressive.
My toes are coiled. I could pick up cutlery with them right now. They're just that's very, you know, with motorsports and there's this kind of immense year for Formula One with Red Bull's kind of clinching the world championship victory from Lewis Hamilton and on the last lap of the race. Where does Formula E fit in? Because I don't know much about that.
Well, Formula E, basically, Formula E is coming into its eighth season. I think it kicks off in about 3 weeks in Saudi Arabia. So essentially, it's the FIA, the governing body of all motorsport. It's their top-end full EV championship. So you've 11 teams, you know, 22 different drivers, very similar kind of, you know, starting grid setup to Formula One. But they're full EVs. And the thing about them is, because they're EVs, they're kind of, there's more of a focus on urban settings. So the race in Mexico City, in Rome, Monaco, Berlin, New York, London, Seoul, over the course of the year. And you've a lot of the big brands have now entered teams. You know, Nissan has a team, Jaguar, Mercedes, Porsche, DS, Andretti, and NIO, to name just some of them. But, you know, the big manufacturers are getting behind this. They see this as the future of motorsport.
God, exciting times. I could chat to you all day. You've got me very riled up. Joe, thanks so much for chatting to me this morning.
No problem.
It was
anytime, Baz.
Like I say, it was just fascinating. Really. Where can people see your stuff, Joe?
You'll see it on rev.ie or in the Celtic Media Group titles, newspapers.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for you flying by me. I know
no
it's either you or the mayor. I know that much. Right, take care. We're